This is Leo with KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio. We're recording this visit with our Lake County Public Health Supervisor, Tracy Gilsvik, on Monday. That's December 13th. The impetus for me getting a hold of Tracy today, she has a very important role in the county and the county's public health services under the Health and Human Services Department. I spoke to the head of Health and Human Services, Lisa Hansen, maybe 8 or 9 weeks ago. And that was already when the Delta variant was making a real surge in Lake County. I haven't had a chance to visit with Tracy Gilsvik, who's on the phone with me right now. It turns out since June, Tracy, and I was going to say, might have wanted to check in with you sooner because I don't want you to have to do a 5-month recap because you've been awfully busy, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah, we have been busy.
I wanted people to understand what your role is. Maybe not just your role in the department, but what is public health's primary focus in regards to dealing with a public health emergency like this COVID pandemic? What are you actively able to do, and what do you do in a support capacity in your department? I mean, you have mandates, things you can and can't do. Vaccine clinics, I think everybody knows that you've done an incredible job of sponsoring, supporting, and carrying those off. That's been a very big part of those 5 months, hasn't it?
Yes, thank you. You know, at the start of the pandemic, our role was one thing, like with case investigation and contact tracing and answering a lot of questions, working as kind of a consultant, mostly in the middle, kind of a middle person. No one in Lake County was an expert on COVID, and so we needed to rely on the Minnesota Department of Health. And at the time, everyone was learning and then seeking more information from experts. Anyway, our role has certainly changed from when the pandemic started, and even vaccine clinics have changed quite a lot. I never want to go back to having to prioritize who gets a vaccine. And again, we didn't do that at the local level. We were told from the state, you know, and they were told from the federal government who could receive vaccines when it started. The wonderful thing, in fact, I've even gotten calls saying, can I sign up for, you know, I'm in this such and such a role. Can I sign up for my vaccine? And said, I've told people, oh my gosh, go find one. There's all kinds of places where you can get vaccinated now.
Indeed. And in many places, people are going to individual pharmacies, et cetera. But in Lake County, we've had a very strong public health component to that. The vaccination clinics that you've been running largely in conjunction with Lakeview, is that often the case?
That's true.
And in their facility have been a primary source for a lot of the people who have been vaccinated.
Yes, they really have. We have a great relationship with Lakeview. You know, they're providing the space. We've taken turns on providing vaccinators. Right now, they're helping with a lot of the greeters and some of the logistics and the room. Sometimes we've needed them to order vaccine for us and vice versa. And I really, before I forget to say it, the other big piece of this is we've relied on volunteers. We've had Minnesota Respond volunteers helping us. Lake County Public Health is a very small department, and there's no way we could have done this without some contract workers, our staff, and then these volunteers. We have about over 30 people helping us with these clinics.
So you've leveraged some really goodwill human resources here.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And every time we put out another request, you know, can you help us? Can you help us again? Here's all of our roles. We don't skimp either. We have very safe setups for our clinics. It's very important to us that we have 2 people in observation. We have 2 people with registration to double check that we're not letting people through that maybe just has symptoms of COVID or something like that. Yeah, we have been doing clinics. We continue to do them. I was really excited with all the changes with booster opportunities. It got pretty confusing for people, and we had to learn a lot fast. So, you know, we just had to, a lot of logistical things having to do with dosages and when someone can get a booster. It got so complicated that our calendars are all now color coordinated because we do not want to make any mistakes.
Right. And Yes, you have which vaccine it is, and first, second, booster doses, pediatric doses. And a new year coming on, so you have clinics that are happening after the first of the year, so you have a lot to juggle.
Yeah, right. Yep, a lot to juggle. But what was interesting is with all these opportunities, we wanted to make sure everyone could get whatever booster they wanted. And of course, we still wanted people to get vaccinated who had never been vaccinated. So we got all these opportunities out there, weeks of clinics. And it was surprising. People would sign up, but then maybe find a vaccine earlier. or so they could get it sooner, and then they would cancel their appointment with us. I appreciated the cancellation, so it would open up for someone else, but it was surprising how different it is now than at the start of the pandemic. People would never cancel an appointment, and we also couldn't even offer appointments 2 weeks out. You know, we were waiting for our supply, and then we'd get the vaccine clinic going, and people would sign up, and 7 minutes, we'd fill up 100 spots, and you know, it was a whole different tempo, I guess.
Yes, it was hard for the demand that was out there couldn't be met at the pace that people could have signed up at. I mean, you just had to meter it out as you got your next supply. I'm sure not everyone understood, and there was lots of frustration, but it wasn't frustration that you had any influence over.
True, yeah. So people have been filling up our clinics. You know, we've been offering, you know, 84 doses, 96 doses. With the pediatric clinics, we did our first one in November. Again, we really wanted to be safe. This was a whole new demographic. We had a lot of concerns. What if someone cries and it makes someone else cry? You know, we didn't want a bad experience. So we slowed down the pace of that first clinic. We only did 40 children over a course of 2 hours. And, you know, the clinic didn't fill up super fast. I think it's harder for parents with their younger kids to decide about getting them vaccinated. But they are. They are continuing to fill up slowly but surely. And we've also received great compliments on our methods with the toys we're providing. And we have a new volunteer role called a client engagement volunteer. They just distract the kids and goof around with them till the shot gets in their arm. And then they get to go relax and watch a movie for 15 minutes. So
we're talking about it having been only a month, 6 weeks or so since the onset of the availability to even have access for parents to have access for their children,
right?
Five to 11.
Right. We were probably about a week late because we just weren't quite ready to get our first supply of pediatric vaccine. It was the first time we were ordering Pfizer, and we had to have all of our ducks in a row for that. It arrives in a big box of dry ice and a little tiny box of vaccine and this great big box of dry ice. And you just have to make sure all your temperatures of your refrigerator are correct and that everyone knows what they're doing. So we were about a week later than some people were in getting the pediatric doses ready.
So Tracy, with all but the children from birth through five able to be vaccinated now, it's kind of moved the targets you have for even measuring what the percent of fully vaccinated individuals are. Of course, we have to add into the fully vaccinated category the issue of having had boosters. When we look at and say that the portion of the population that is fully vaccinated, are we talking with adults of those who've just had two shots? Or are we, at what point will boosters be considered essential to be called fully vaccinated?
Yeah, that's a good question. Right now, the definition is if you've had your two shots of Pfizer or Moderna or your one of Johnson & Johnson, that's considered fully vaccinated. But I don't know when it's going to be considered that booster makes you fully vaccinated. You know,
yeah.
I don't know when that line will...
And it's so hard for you at the end of the food chain because the messaging has and the scientific panel decision-making and getting that word out has been such a challenging process, then you just have to react when they finally do.
Yeah, you know, one thing that happened with the boosters is the media was really good at getting the word out. Well, we didn't even have all of our protocol in place yet. You know, we have to make sure that people are trained, that, you know, we know what we're doing. And again, safety is our first priority. Yeah, there has been a lot of responding and learning when we can. But, you know, we're getting really good at doing these vaccine clinics. So there's a lot of challenges we've overcome for now.
So for those who got vaccinated early and haven't been watching the Lake County vaccination webpage like it was, you know, watching the stock market, we've had a great pace of activity of vaccinations offered and the expansion from more than one vaccine from not just Pfizer to Moderna and even J&J all happened in the last couple of months. And so you've been very, very busy with those clinics. And yet, one of the reasons we're talking today is coinciding with this uptick in making vaccines available has been this frustrating to you, I'm sure, situation where we've gotten into the surge of actual new cases, I think largely attributable to Delta. I don't know if anyone's going to argue with me about that, such that we've had a number of weeks in a row where we've been well over the high rate of transmission as defined by the CDC. And this past week, for 3 days at the end of last week, we had kind of a record pace with one day, Friday, bringing us 34 new cases, a new individual mm-hmm. day case record. And so we're not seeing the commensurate effect that we want to see from getting the population vaccinated, at least not yet. And it does cause me to ask, can you speak to whether or not you have any idea of the number of these new cases that are among people who may have been even twice vaccinated, but who may have lost some of their immune response because it had been so long? I mean, do you know the number of vaccinated cases?
Yeah. I don't know the number in Lake County. You know, we're probably on par with the state as far as breakthrough cases, and
okay.
there have been breakthrough cases for sure. And I know that just, you know, anecdotally, I've had people call and say, talk to me about it. But, you know, I think what's going to happen as we move into the future with looking at data, I think we're really going to have to look at our hospital rates and see. We're getting more options for testing. You know, we can do over-the-counter tests now, and those tests won't always be reported to the state. So,
right. That's a very good point. Those quick do-it-at-home antigen tests. I've wondered this myself. How does anyone ever know that that test occurred?
Yeah, they don't. So, it, you know, if a school does a test, they do report it. If a jail does a test, they report any positive cases reported if it's done at some kind of entity. You know, long-term care, skilled care facility, the clinic. But if you're doing it at home, obviously, you're doing it for your own knowledge. And, you know, I still think it's good for people to have those choices, especially at this point. You know, it's not like we need more evidence to know that COVID is out there. It's out there. Delta is the primary variant right now. We're seeing more youth with positive cases. We did not see that this time last year. Many more youth and many more family units. I used to be surprised when someone could have COVID in the household and then other people in the home didn't get it. You know, they were careful and they just didn't get it. Now, when you look at our cases, there's a lot of family units. So it's really more and more difficult to avoid when it's in your home.
Well, one of the things I wanted to address along the lines of the impact across the age spectrum is, of course, the older folks have generally been the first to be vaccinated, likely the first to line up to get booster shots. I don't know what the prevalence of booster mm-hmm. shots has been for the over 65 community, but we're seeing more serious courses of illness as well for younger folks. Tracy, I think it's fairly relevant with us having what they're telling us is likely to be an even more transmissible variant coming along, that among the largest reservoir of folks that can be infected, of course, are the younger population with the least resistance, those who had no or, you know, just one vaccination along the path to full immunity from vaccination. So as I read it last week, there were over 100,000 pediatric, and I don't know what the age range is that go all the way up to 16 or 18 years of age, 100,000 plus pediatric cases of new COVID in the country. Of course not, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know what it is in our neck of the woods, but it's possible that this vaccination project for our younger folks will be kind of critical to reducing the number of people that this virus can circulate in.
For sure, and it's one of the tools we have. You know, unless we want to go back to completely isolating ourselves to avoid it, vaccine is the tool that we have to use.